Just a couple of weeks ago, during the anniversary service for the Akron Church, the Lord spoke to us very clearly, very, very powerfully. And I want to pick up from some of the things that the Lord ministered to us in that service. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus actually sent messages and he sent instructions to seven churches altogether in the book of Revelations. But the last two churches, the messages he sent to them really stood out so powerfully to me. The messages were different, but there were instructions, there were promises, and there were supernatural endowments in those things that the Lord spoke to them. So I'm going to read Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 7. This is the sixth church. This is the sixth church. So the sixth church was the church in Philadelphia. In verse 7, it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens." He says in verse 8, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name." Pay attention to that scripture right there, that verse. It says, "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door." He says, "And no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name." When you have a little strength, it's very easy to be tempted to not keep his word. When you have few resources, when you feel weak, or when you feel like things are not going the way you want them to go, it's very easy to give up on the word of God. It's very easy to give up on faith. It's very easy to give up on trusting God and believing the words that he speaks to you. It's very easy to quit on your hopes and the things, the expectations that you have in God. But the Lord said to them, "Even though you have a little strength, you have kept my word and you have not denied my name." And all of these promises he made to them was based off of that. Because they had a little strength, but they held on to his word and they did not deny his name. He said, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, but they are not, but they do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." I love that. When God says, "I'm going to let the world know how much I love you," that's powerful. That means I'm going to take it right out of the pages of the book. They're not just going to hear about it. They're not just going to read about it. But I'm going to demonstrate my love for you. I'm going to manifest my love for you. I'm going to show the world that you are the apple of my eyes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All of that because even though they had a little strength, they would not give up on the word of God. Even though they felt weak, even though they felt disadvantaged, even though they felt they had so many shortcomings, even though they felt like things were not really the way they wanted them to be, but they would not quit on holding on to the word of God. And God unleashed upon them four categories of blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my patience." Because you have kept the word of my patience. He said, "I also will keep you from the hour of trial and temptation." The Amplified says, "The hour of trial and temptation." The hour of trial and testing, he calls it. That is coming upon the earth. He said, don't pray about it. Don't pray against the testing that is coming, because the testing is going to come. Just know that when that testing comes, I guarantee that I will keep you. I guarantee that I will hold you together. I guarantee that I will preserve your life and your inheritance, the Lord says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All because they held on to his word and they would not deny his name. They held on to his word and they would not deny his name. He used the P word, but in that service 2 weeks ago, I gave a separate P word. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience, and I used the P word, persevere. Because he said, because you have persevered. Because you have persevered. What does it mean to persevere? To persevere is when you feel, if you were there, you got this definition from me. When you feel like you have been pushed to your limit, and when you feel like you are being pushed beyond your limit, to keep on pushing with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. That's what it means to persevere. When you feel like you have been pushed to your limit, and when you feel like you are being pushed beyond your limit, to keep on pushing forward with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. They persevered. They persevered. Because they held on to his word, and because they held on to his name, the Lord unleashed four categories of blessings upon them. Number one, the Lord said, I'm going to open doors to you. I'm going to open doors to you. I said this before, let me say it again. The greatest, most significant blessing you can receive when you feel like you are hemmed in is the blessing of an open door. The most significant blessing you can receive when you feel like you are hemmed in is the blessing of an open door. Where the Lord says, because you persevere, I will give you the blessings of an open door. Because you are persevering and because you have persevered, I will give you the blessings of an open door. And the Lord reminds us, he says, I will open doors in such a way that no human being will be able to shut them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because they persevered. Because they persevered. The second category of blessing, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the upper hand over every opposition of the enemy. I'm going to give you the upper hand over every opposition of the enemy. Remember, they have opposition. That's why they are feeling the heat of the pain. They are feeling the heat of the pressure. It's because there's opposition. It's because there's tribulation, there's affliction, there's difficulty. That's why they are feeling the heat. God said, I will give you the upper hand over the opposition of the enemy. Why? Because you persevered. Because when you felt like you were pushed to your limit, and when you felt like you were being pushed beyond your limit, you didn't quit on me. God said you kept on pushing forward with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I will give you the upper hand. I will give you the upper hand. I like the way he put it there. He said, some of those enemies are enemies from within. I know we all deal with enemies from without, but God says, whether they are enemies from within or whether they are enemies from without, God said, I'm going to give you the upper hand. I'm going to give you the upper hand. He said, some people who are, they call themselves Jews. He said, but actually they are from the synagogue of Satan. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I give you the upper hand over them. I give you the upper hand. The third category of blessing that the Lord promised them, he says, I'm going to manifest and I'm going to declare my love for you. I'm going to declare and I'm going to manifest my love. I'm going to take it from the pages of the book. I'm going to show the world that I love you. I'm going to show the world that you are the apple of my eyes. I'm going to do uncommon things for you. I'm going to do things that will cause people to wonder about the manifest presence of God in your life. They say, wow, is this God still doing stuff like this? And you say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. God will give you uncommon breakthroughs. God will give you uncommon miracles. God will push down doors of the enemy. God will pull down mountains that have reared themselves before you. God will make giants fall at your feet. Hallelujah. And he will say in the presence of every one of those difficulties, he said, don't touch this one because he is the apple of my eyes. Don't touch this one because she is the apple of my eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the enemy feels sometimes like he has us boxed in. The scripture even said in Psalm 66, I like the way the Amplified put it. Sorry, the Message. I think it was the Message. If you have whoever is back there, if you have the Message translation, could you put up for me Psalm 66? I think it's verse 10 or 11. I think it starts from verse 10, if you have the Message. Put that up. For you, O God, Message, thank you. He said, he trained us first, passed us like silver through refining fires. Go on. He brought us into a hard scrabble country. Pushed us to our very limit. Do you know what a hard scrabble country is? It's just two words joined together. Separate them. Hard and scrabble. How many of you play Scrabble? How many people play Scrabble here? Hard and Scrabble. It's like he brought us into a place where we scratch our heads. Like we were clueless. We had no idea. How are we going to fix this? How are we going to get out? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to survive? He said, pushed us to our very limit. He pushed us to our very limit. But look at the next verse, verse 12. He said, he road tested us inside and out. He took us to hell and back. Finally. Somebody say finally. Come on, say finally. He brought us to this well-watered place. Finally. 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 Every time I read that scripture, I just start dancing. Every time I read that scripture, I just start rejoicing. I just start rejoicing. Because I know we have been to hell and back. But finally. Finally, he's bringing us to a well-watered place. Hallelujah. 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 All because they persevered. They persevered. They held on. They held on. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your testing, Father. Oh boy, when we get a clearer revelation of the ultimate plan of God, we will rejoice over every test. Over everything that goes wrong. When the car breaks down, we will rejoice. When we get the pink slip, we will rejoice. When we are told that health condition hasn't yet turned the way we thought it should, we will rejoice. Because every testing from God is lining us up for the ultimate blessing that he ordained for our future. He's bringing us to a well-watered place. Shout hallelujah if you believe that. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. And then number four, he said, there's a trial and a testing that is coming. There is a trial. He said, don't pray against it. It's coming. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, can we just fast and pray? That God? No, don't. He said, don't pray against it. There's a hour, it's an hour of trial and testing that's coming. But he said, the good news is I'm going to keep you. I'm going to carry you through that hour. I'm going to preserve you like you persevered, like you held on to my word. You won't have to hold on. I will hold on to you in the hour of testing. I will carry you. I will hold on to you. I will bring you through the storms. I will fulfill my word in your life. Shah, hallelujah, if you believe that. So four categories of blessings God promises you today. Number one, open doors. Amen. Number two, the upper hand. Amen. Whether the enemy is from within or whether it's from without, he said, I'm giving you the upper hand. So the pastor, I don't know any kind of enemy from within. You don't? Okay. The next time your body speaks to you and you see symptoms in your body, strangers on your body that you know have no business being there, that's called an enemy from within. He said, I will give you the upper hand. Someone say, God is giving me the upper hand. Say it again. Say, God is giving me the upper hand. There is an anointing being released over your life. There is an anointing being released in this season. God wants to make a scapegoat of the enemy of your life. God wants to strangulate every evil of the enemy that has been put in your direction, in your path. God wants to show up and he wants to show out. God wants to do something amazing, something spectacular, something great. Something great. Will you allow me not to be cute? Can I just preach raw to you? Can I do that? Can I do that this weekend? And can I do that Open Heavens weekend? Because like that psalmist said, my heart is indicting a good matter. Oh my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. He said, I will give you the upper hand. Then he said, I will demonstrate my love for you. And finally, he said, I will keep you in the hour of testing. All right, there goes my time. I want you to look at what the Lord said to the last church. It wasn't pretty at all. All of this good stuff he said to the church in Philadelphia. This was the second, the penultimate, the last, second to the last church he wrote to. But to the church in Laodicea, I want you to look at what the Lord said. It wasn't pretty. It was almost the opposite of what he said to the church in Philadelphia. And there's a reason for it. There's a key, rather. I want to show that to you in just 1 minute here. If you look in verse 14, he said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen. He's the Amen. This is where we got stuck in Akron this morning. We just got stuck. I mean, I couldn't go beyond that. He is the Amen. Hallelujah. He is the Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says the promises of God in him, they are yea and amen. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of a man that he should repent. When God says a thing, when God declares a thing, I don't care if there is hell or high water. What God said is going to come to pass. He is the Amen. He is the Amen. He is the Amen. Do you know what Amen means? Amen means so shall it be. That's it. Period. End of story. So shall it be. End of story. He is the Amen. Come on, child of God. God wants you to know he is the amen. His word is law. His word is final. Whatever he says has to come to pass. I don't care what you hear. I don't care what you see. Whatever God said has to come to pass. His word is the amen. No man's word is the amen. Man is like the flower of the field. The Bible says they are glory fades. They can say something this morning, but before night falls, it can be altogether different. But when God says something, it will never change, my friend. Every word that God speaks has to come to pass. He is the amen. Woo! Every time you say amen, you are saying God. Every time you are saying amen, you are saying God. Every time you are saying amen, you are saying God. Come on, say amen, somebody. Say God. Say amen. Say God. Say amen. Say God. Say amen. I'm blessed. Say God. I'm blessed, say amen. I'm healed, say God. I'm healed, say amen. I'm going over, say God. I'm going over, say amen. I'm not going down, say God. I'm not going down, say amen. I'm rising up higher, say God. I'm rising up higher, say amen. He said he is the amen. He is the faithful. He called himself faithful. He said, I'm the faithful. I'm the amen. I'm the true witness, he said. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to remind you. Help me, Holy Ghost. I just want to remind you. If you have been faithful serving the Lord, my friend, God is coming. God is coming. God is coming. He will never forget you. He will never forget your labor of love. I don't care what you did and what you didn't do. I don't care what you gave and what you did. If you have been faithful to God, if you have served the Lord, if you have made sacrifices, if you have obeyed his word, I'm telling you this morning, God is coming. He will remember you. He will never forget. Let me tell you, in the midnight hour, do you know the back of Paul and Silas were bleeding? They had beaten them with stripes. The highest number of stripes you are allowed to legally whip someone is 40, actually 39. They had whooped, I think the word is whooped, right? Is it whooped? They had beaten them so bad, it wasn't just the marks of the stripes on their backs. They were bleeding. There was palpable pain. There was blood all over the place. And suddenly, Paul and Silas started to sing. And they started to praise God. And they started to dance in that cubicle, in that little cell where they put them. They started to dance. They started to rejoice. They started to glorify God. And the Bible says, suddenly, there was an earthquake. There's a suddenly about to happen for you. I said, there's a suddenly coming your way shortly. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if your back feels pain. I don't know if you feel some blood all around. I don't know if you feel bloodied, like you've been broken, like you've been battered. I don't know if you feel like you've been disadvantaged. But I'm here to tell you, on the authority of the word of God, as a servant of the Almighty God, as a prophet of God, I'm saying to you, God is sending some suddenlies your way. God is sending some spectacular your way. God is sending some miracles your way. Shout hallelujah if you believe. There goes my time. Let me close this out. Sit down. Let's close this out. Let me sit down. Sit down. Let me finish this out. He said to them, I know your works. In verse 15, he said, because you're neither cold nor hot. And God said, I wish you would be one or the other. And I'll tell you why God said that. So those of us, those of you who are women can tell us this. You have frozen food, you keep it in the freezer. There's even some frozen food you have in your freezer that you don't remember. But guess what? It is preserved. It is preserved. As long as it is frozen, it is preserved. How about hot food? Hot food is very palatable. It's ready to be eaten. You know, if you are like I am, when it's hot, like you can see the steam, but also hot, like that the thing has been soaked in Tabasco. You know what I mean? You know what Tabasco is? Anybody here know what Tabasco is? Like the thing is red hot, like hot. You guys call it spicy. Yes, that's me right there. I mean, sometimes I even drink the bottle of Tabasco. Sometimes I just want to feel good. Sometimes I say, you know, I don't know why I'm feeling nauseous this morning. I say, I know the answer to that. I go grab me a bottle. Look at Minister Bry. He looks like he's going to fall over. He's like, somebody help him. Somebody hold him. Somebody help me hold him. He looks like he can hardly believe his ears. Yes, sir. Yes, that's right. You know, sometimes I just feel like, man, this morning, I just want to eat. I just pour this thing. And I mean, my salads. I eat salads pretty much mostly. It's one of my main meals. Every day I eat pretty much two meals every day. One of those, well, when I'm not fasting, one of those is always a salad. My salad is soaked in Tabasco. Salad to me does not taste like salad without that spice. So when you are eating that thing, you know, you are eating it, you are sweating, you are going, man, I'm feeling hungry even now. just preaching to you. Man, they packed me some fruit from Accra. I think that's why I'm this anointed. It's very good. It's good food. It's good food. Sorry, they didn't pack for the whole Cleveland church. They said it's just for senior pastors. So I can't share that. I'll share my love. I share the message, the word of God. I share the anointing with you. But the food they packed me from Akron, sorry, it's only for me, all right? Sorry, I can't share. Don't be jealous. Your time will come, all right? One of these days, you too, you will become a senior pastor. All right, this is not right. It's almost 12, almost 1 o'clock. I better close this message. But God says, when it's cold, it can be preserved. When it's hot, it's palatable. But when it's lukewarm, it's food poisoning. When it's lukewarm, how many of you have ever brought out food from the freezer and you didn't heat it all the way and kill all the germs in that thing? And you know that thing hasn't been properly heated. You know that thing hasn't been properly done. You won't eat it. It's food poisoning. God said, I wish you were hot or cold. He said, I can deal with cold and I can deal with hot. Lukewarm, I can't deal with. I can't deal with lukewarm. You see, this church, let me try to close here. Actually, my main message to you today was supposed to be from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was supposed to preach to you on how to be a man of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. But, yeah, I don't want you guys to fire me, so I'm not going to preach that message. This is the one the Holy Spirit wants me to preach this morning. I'm just going to stick with this one. He said, God said, I can't deal with lukewarm. What is lukewarm? Lukewarm is, it's not cold and it's not hot. Remember what he told the other church is, you have a little strength. But he didn't say You only give a little. That's not what he said. He said to the church in Philadelphia, you only have a little strength. You don't have a lot of resources. You don't have a lot of people. You don't have a lot of promises. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of opportunities. He said, but in spite of that, you persevere. You persevere. The church in Laodicea, he said to them, you have a lot, but you only give a little. He's not talking about resources. This lukewarm is talking about you only go as far as convenience allows you to go. In fact, he said in that scripture, you think you are rich, he said. Let me read this to you. He said, you think you are rich, but you are wretched. He said in verse 17, because you say, I am rich and I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you are wretched, and you are miserable, and you are poor, and you are blind, and you are naked. He said to the church in Philadelphia, you have a little. He said to the church in Laodicea, you only give a little. You only give a little. You are lukewarm. You are not cold. So we know you are not an unbeliever. But you are not hot. You are not going all the way. You are not sold out. The Lord said, I can deal with cold because they are preserved. I'll keep sending people their way. I'll keep sending people their way. I'll keep sending until one day somehow, if their heart opens, they will get saved. He says, I can deal with hot because hot helps me advance my kingdom. He says, but I can't deal with lukewarm. Lukewarm is a life that lacks zeal for God. Lukewarm is a life that is devoid of passion for the things of God. It doesn't mean that life doesn't have passion. It just means it doesn't have passion for God. Its passion can be in sports. Its passion can be music. Its passion can be money. Its passion can be in career. But it doesn't have a passion for God. And the Lord said to them, I wish you were cold or hot. And he wraps us, he says, I counsel of you, buy of me gold. And he goes on and on and on and on like that. You know who a true man of God is? A true man of God is passionate for God. A true man of God is hot for God. A true man of God has character. They are sold out. They are committed. A true man of God digs in and gives all. A true man of God believes all the way. They don't half believe. They don't say, I'll believe 50%. No, they believe all the way. A true man of God is reliable. You can count on them. They don't draw the line at convenience. As long as it fits within my little schedule. No. A man of God upturns their schedule. He said, I'm going to find a way. It's tough, it's tight, but I have to. And they are breaking and they are bending and they are trying to make this work and they are trying to make that work. But God, he's the amen God. He's number one God. God is God. He's God first. is God first. I pray for you as we celebrate fathers and men and women today, all of us. We will not just receive the word of God that he's spoken to us, but that we will receive a fresh zeal from heaven. Amen. Passion for God. Passion for God. Passion. Sometimes it's easier to be passionate when you don't have much. Sometimes. Sometimes when your bills are not paid, it's easy to be passionate. Sometimes when you need a breakthrough, it's easy to be passionate. Sometimes if you don't have a job, you pray longer. But sometimes it's tempting when we have all these opportunities to rationalize and to lose our passion for God. And we get in the flow of the world. What everybody's talking about, you know, it's so busy. Pastor, you know, I know, he's so busy. He's so busy. I know he's busy. I know he's busy. But remember, that busy is a blessing from heaven. The reason you are that busy is because God bless you. You have to take care of your children because God bless you with children. You have to go to work because God bless you with a job. You have to take care of all your different obligations because the Lord gave you those opportunities. Would you rather not have those opportunities? Would you rather be jobless? Would you rather not have your family, the blessing of family? Would you rather not have all these things begging for your time? No, you don't want that. People who have that are miserable. God bless you. In the midst of these blessings, I want you to make God your amen. Amen. Do you receive that word?
Yes.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to your feet and give the Lord praise.